Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with me. My pleasure to be part of your day, I tell you that. I'm glad Chad Moutray is here, too. Dr. Chad Moutray is an old friend of ours. He's the chief economist over at the Office of Advocacy, which is an organization you've heard me telling you about for a long time. He formerly was the dean of the School of Business Administration at Robert Morris College in Chicago, Illinois, before he came to the Office of Advocacy. But more importantly, he's our good friend. Chad, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's always great to be back on the show, and congratulations again on being on the air 7 years.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. We're proud of that as well. And you've been a big part of that. You and Tom Sullivan, the chief counsel over there at the Office of Advocacy. You guys have been great supporters of all the things that we do for a long time now, and we appreciate that very much. Chad, you bring tidings of economic good news, and I want you to tell us about that.
Well, yesterday there was a really good release from the Bureau of Economic Analysis. Gross domestic product increased 3.9% in the third quarter. That's up. Earlier they had said it was 3.7%.
Right. Now, was that the increase, or was that the GDP for the quarter?
The annualized increase for the quarter.
Okay, for the quarter. All right.
And you know what makes that really important is that the we've had many consecutive quarters of positive growth, especially from last August on, from the second quarter of 2003 on. So I think that really continues to show that the economy is growing. And
What does that give us for an annual rate? Because the first two quarters probably weren't quite that good, were they?
The first two quarters of gross domestic product, I have it here.
Around 3% or so, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. The first quarter grew 4.5. The second, 3.3.
Okay.
So we're going around.
It was
4%.
Just the second one that was off a little bit, but it's right about 4%. And I at the beginning of the year, I predicted that we would have 5% growth in 2004, which I'm going to miss that prediction. But I did not factor in the cost of petroleum.
Yeah, petroleum has gone up quite substantially.
It's really hurt the economy, hasn't it?
What's funny, in the third quarter, even though you saw tremendous increases in oil prices, consumption really was not hurt in the third quarter, just looking at those 3 months. But you've started to see a little bit of that effect, I think, in the fourth quarter now, of people starting to see the effect of that higher oil prices.
Right.
And I would imagine that if prices stay as high as they are, particularly in the Northeast, where they're a lot more reliant on oil for manufacturing and for their heating, you'll see a little bit more of an effect.
But Chad, there's nothing in the world wrong with a 3 to 4% growth rate every quarter, is there? That's a good solid healthy rate, isn't it?
That's good. And what really makes that important is that we've seen positive growth, pretty much since the recession ended. But what we're finally seeing now in the last year or so is positive employment growth.
Mm-hmm.
We've created about 2.2 million new jobs just since last August. Almost all of that was from this year, 2004. And so it's happening in almost every industry, including manufacturing. It hasn't been growing as fast, but at least it's having positive gains. And so
Chad,
I think that really speaks to the fact that the economy is doing pretty well.
Exactly. And one of the things that sort of irritates me are people who talk about all the jobs that were lost since 2000, I guess I should say. And what they don't take into consideration, or what maybe I should say they omit, is the fact that in 1999 and part of 2000, a member of the Federal Reserve Board has been a member of my brain trust, Dr. Bob McTeer, who's now moved on, by the way. But the last time he was on the show, he pointed out that we were actually overemployed in 99 and 2000. We had people working. And because of the dot-com craze, we had people working that probably there wasn't any justification for their job.
Yeah. There was an awful lot of hype going on, obviously, with regard to technology and that particular boom. And so, yeah, we probably were overemployed. You know, when I was in school, and perhaps you as well, we learned that full employment was between 5 and 6%.
Right.
And then in the 90s, we got down to 4.
Exactly.
And a lot of people were scratching their heads. Right now, we're in that 5 to 6% range. And so, we're at least when I learned at school, that was full employment. But
what is the unemployment rate now? 5.4, 5.3?
It's 5.4, that's right.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not right. It's 5.5, excuse me.
And that's actually lower than the average for the last three decades, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So we've been doing really, really well, actually, I think, in terms of employment. We could still see some positive gains in other areas.
When you consider all the things that we've gone through, though, for the last four years or so, I think it's a great testament to the resiliency of our economy and, as you, I think you'll agree with me, to the strength and the dedication and the courage of a lot of small business owners. Tony Till, we'll be right back with Dr. Chad Moutre. He's with the Office of Advocacy at the SBA. Stay with us, please. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend, Dr. Chad Moutre, who's with the Office of Advocacy. Chad, tell us what an Office of Advocacy is.
Well, we are an independent office within the Small Business Administration, and primarily we're independent because of the rulemakings that take place at the federal government. You know, all new rules or regulations from every federal agency really has to say whether it's going to impact small business or not. And if it does, we try to work with that agency to try to minimize the burden on small business.
But it includes the behavior of Congress too. I mean, the laws that they pass.
That's right. You know, if there's any, we try to make sure that small businesses are really taken into consideration whenever there's any type of new regulation or rule, and we work with the Office of Management and Budget at the White House and with each agency. We're actually going around right now and training each agency on how to do economic analysis for rulemaking. So it's a major undertaking considering all the regulations that come out of Washington. But we try to have your listeners and a lot of small business owners and associations, you know, give us the heads up on regulations that really they see are going to be threatening them down the line.
Well, and Chad, one of the things that people may not know is that it's not enough for you guys to pay attention to what Congress is doing and to identify the things that might hurt small business owners in the bills that are passed there. But those bills, when they leave Congress, they go out into the agencies and they're promulgated, aren't they?
That's great. That's right.
And how they wind up being promulgated might have no resemblance to the way the bill started out.
Well, you know, lawmaking, as you know, is quite vague because they got to get the majority vote. And
right.
So that vagaries are filled in quite a bit with the actual rulemaking lawyers and economists, et cetera, that actually do the rules. So.
And the devil for small business is in those details, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And so that's what we have.
As you said, that kind of doesn't resemble what the lawmakers actually passed or maybe even wanted.
Well, and that's why what you guys do, you and the chief counsel there running the shop, Tom Sullivan, our old friend, what all you guys do, that's the reason what you guys do is so important for small business owners. Because, Chad, give us the number. You've got the number there at your fingertips of what it costs small business owners every year per employee to comply with regulations.
Well, in 2001, we had a study from Crane and Hopkins, and they said that it's about $7,000 per employee to comply with federal regulations for a small business, versus about $4,400 per employee for
almost double.
It's 60% higher, and we are redoing that study now. Mark Crane is doing it for us again, and hopefully we can release that sometime early in 2005. But we continue wanting to document that. Small businesses really are paying a higher proportion or higher cost, really, in terms of compliance for federal regulations. And that's just federal regulations. We haven't even talked about state or local. We've been really active in trying to encourage states to pass federal regulatory legislation as well. So states also have similar protections that we'd have at the federal level. So
we've had
quite a bit of success with that. And actually, Tom Sullivan and Victoria Zebarth in our office are going to the NCSL meeting next week to continue to push that amongst state legislators. So,
well, I hope you are able to get that done because every time, ladies and gentlemen, every time the Office of Advocacy has a success story, there's a little bit of a ka-ching that happens in your business. That means that every time they're successful in doing their job, that means that it costs you a little bit less money. And it actually shows up, rather than in your cash register, as so much as it shows up on your balance sheet in terms of being able to keep some of the capital that you've worked so hard for. And so, Chad, on behalf of my audience, on behalf of small business owners across this country, we thank you for the hard work that you guys do.
Thank you. As I said, it's a major undertaking. There's a number of pages in the Federal Register each year that we have to pour through to figure out what's really of interest to small business.
What can we do to help you? What can we do to further your mission?
Well, with regard to regulations, there is on our website, www.sba.gov/advo, there is a regulatory alerts page where each of the advocates in our office post regulations that they're working on that are pending. And I would encourage small business owners to go on there and post comments. That's simply something that we look at all the time, whether it's the regional advocates or the people in Washington. Again, that's not my shop. I'm an economist, but that certainly is a way that your listeners can actually communicate with us regarding regulation.
And that's sba.gov/advo, ladies and gentlemen. That's also where they can find this report that you've been talking about, isn't it?
That is correct. And then the other thing I do want to talk about is 2005 is a very, very big year for our office. We have three conferences in the works. We have in March, on March the 7th, we have a conference on best practices at the state and local level to promote economic development and entrepreneurship. I can talk more about that in a minute.
Is that like the one that we had last year?
It's very similar to the one we had last year. It's kind of a build-on to it.
Right.
The Kauffman Foundation, the Council of State Governments, and the National Lieutenant Governors Association and us are pooling together our resources to put this conference on.
Some of you may remember that I broadcast from that venue last March, and I expect to be there again this year. Chad has invited me back, so I expect to be able to do that again. Tell us what you'd like. What would you like for the audience to know about that conference, Chad?
Well, again, this is a best practices conference. One of the things that we really want to highlight is what are the state and local governments doing in terms of initiatives that promote new small businesses for being created, for creating jobs, for just economic growth in general. And so we've asked each of the state and local government economic development folks to send us submissions by December the 17th. We haven't received any yet, but I've heard from many states that they're getting ready to send stuff to us. And
so any regional, county, city economic development authority, if they want to send you any of their best practices, that's what you're looking for?
That's right. The information's on our website. They can also call me. My number is 202-205-6973.
All right. And we're going to give that number out in the website again in just a few minutes. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the economy after these messages. It's 10 till. Dr. Chad Moutray is with us. He's with the Office of Advocacy. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Dr. Chad Moutray, who's with the Office of Advocacy. It's a division of the SBA, but completely independent in their behavior, in their activity. Tom Sullivan, actually, your boss and the chief counselor with the Office of Advocacy, he actually reports direct to the president, doesn't he?
That's correct. He does.
Yeah. So the President Bush gave your office some extra teeth to get the attention of some of these guys who create regulations that hurt small business owners. And I appreciate him doing that. Chad, you mentioned the March 7th conference. You got two more coming up next year.
That's right. In June of next year, we have the International Council for Small Business. It's an international association. In the U.S., USASB, United States Association for Small Business and Entrepreneurship, is a part of it.
Right.
Anyway, next June, this international group is coming to Washington. They go all over the world. They've been in Ireland. They've been in South Africa. This next year, they're coming to the U.S. And the National Federation of Independent Business and Advocacy are getting together to have a pre-conference the day before on global policy issues. So Denny Dennis over there and myself are getting together, and we're going to bring together some academics to talk about some issues on a global scale.
And when is that? June what?
That's, I believe, June 14th.
Right.
14th. It's in Washington at Crystal City Marriott. And the next fall, there's no date yet planned, we're going to be celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Regulatory Flexibility Act.
Mm-hmm. Rick Fair.
It's so one more time we're going to continue to discuss, you know, what, how has it worked, where should we go be going in the future. We're planning a big symposium.
Remind the audience what Rick Fair is.
Well, this is not a Reg Fair, because that's something that the Ombudsman's Office does.
Okay.
The Regulatory Flexibility Act.
Okay.
The act that was passed in 1980 that gave our office the ability to work with federal agencies to minimize the regulatory costs of each new regulation. And so that was passed in 1980. And after 25 years, we're just simply, you know, taking a look back to see where we've been and kind of moving forward to see exactly, you know, where do we take regulatory flexibility from here on out. So
mm-hmm.
it should be an interesting conference. It's again the 25th anniversary, so it's a nice milestone, but it's also a way to look forward.
Be sure to keep me posted on all that. Chad, tell us about what you see for us in the first quarter 2005. What's your crystal ball say?
Well, you know, for the last few quarters, it's been a little bit of deja vu. We've continued to have quarter after quarter of positive growth. I expect we'll see continued economic and employment growth for the fourth quarter and also the first quarter. The price of oil, of course, is something which just continues to be a question mark. The price of oil has come down a little bit, but we haven't up to now seen a major effect of that in terms of consumption, but, you know, that could change. So far, the Christmas holiday sales have been somewhat mixed, but up a little bit. And so I suspect we'll see more of the same.
You know, Chad, I'm not a professional economist. You are. I'm not. But my instincts, having been in this marketplace a long time, here's how I see where we're going in 2005. And I base it on where we've been. As you know, we had a tough 01, 02. We had a decent 03, but we were still reeling a little bit, still recovering. 04 was a good solid year, but we weren't quite sure that the recovery, you know, was really sustained. We had the war to deal with. We had the increased oil prices. I think in 05 we really believe that the recovery is real and we can have more confidence, so we'll have the same kind of economic conditions, which are good, but we'll have more confidence in 2005, and that's the reason why I think 05 is going to be a good year. What do you think about my amateur appraisal there?
I think that you're wise. I think I also think that, you know, looking forward the next few years, we are going through some major structural changes in the economy. Much of what you've been hearing about outsourcing is part of that. But I think that the answer to all of those issues is we have to continue to train our workers. Education is the key. And, you know, we've done studies that show that wherever there's a lot of research and development at the university level, there's a lot of economic development and new firms being created. I think that Washington and the states must continue to look towards education really as the way to
mm-hmm.
to work our way through some of these structural issues.
Get our workers redeployed in the 21st century jobs. That's the key, isn't it?
That's the key. We have to continue to have a strong workforce that's trained and flexible. And that's the key, I think, to getting us to move forward. And of course, I'm from Gen X. You know, the next time we have a presidential election, we'll have a lot of people starting to retire, the baby boomers.
Yep, so absolutely.
That also is going to have an awful lot of impact on the labor market.
Right.
Looking forward.
Chad, thank you for being here. Dr. Chad Mutrey, ladies and gentlemen, with the Office of Advocacy at sba.gov/ADVO. Give us your phone number again, too, Chad.
It's 202-205-6973.
And we'll have you back on again before you have your conference in March and talk about this some more.
That's good.
Thanks, Chad. Have a good one. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.